Now, you say, well, you know, what's wrong with the Bible? I mean, you know, I'm sure he went to the Texas Receptus, you know, and he got, I mean, they should align somewhat. Well, let's look at how much they align.
In Romans chapter 3 and verse 1, the King James Bible says, what advantage then hath the Jew?
Or what profit is there of the circumcision? So when the Bible said, what advantage has the Jew? In other words, it's talking about that the oracles of God obviously were given to them.
They had received the laws of God. They had an advantage in the fact that they knew God and understood God.
Right? The Word of God was revealed to the Hebrews in the Old Testament. That's the advantage that they had. God gave them the Word of God. And He committed unto them the responsibility to propagate the Word of God throughout the whole earth, to evangelize the Gentiles. That's the advantage.
Now keep in mind that one of the heresies of dispensationalism is Zionism.
We know what happens to Israel. If we, those that follow the scriptures, it's very clear. Israel's not going away. You sense the hope with those people, with the people of Israel. Do you sense that they understand the reality? Because I do see this, that they know God has a special plan for that country.
Well, John Nelson Darby, look what he says. What then is the superiority of the Jews?
Or what is the profit of circumcision? Now, hold on a second. What then is the superiority of the Jews? The Bible doesn't say they're superior. The Bible says they had an advantage.
He wants to show that the Jews are more superior than anybody else. It doesn't say superior, it says advantage.
You know, but of course a Zionist would say, oh no, the Jews are superior to Gentiles. You know, we're just a bunch of dirty heathen Gentiles and they're superior than us. No, you know what? The Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. The Bible says that we're all made of one blood. Here's the thing. What's the difference between a Jew, the Old Testament Jew, and the Gentiles? Here's the difference. The Jews had an advantage. They were given the oracles of God. They were given the laws of God. But were they superior? Were they created better than the Gentiles? No, but not according to John Darby.
Yeah, he's just off a little bit. Well, strike one.
God's doing something now. But think about this. Now we are coming to love Israel and understand that God still has a purpose. The church is. The Gentile church, I should say.
Luke 2:33 says, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. So the Bible, the King James Bible, is very careful not to call Joseph Jesus Christ's dad. Why is that? Because he wasn't. God is his father, right?
But in Luke chapter 2 and verse 33, John Nelson Darby translated it as this, and his father and mother wondered at the things which were said concerning him. So in John Nelson Darby's version, God is not the father of Jesus, but Joseph was the father of Jesus.
It takes out Joseph's name and puts his father. You say, no, you're reading from the NIV. No, this is John Nelson Darby's Bible. John 16:8 says, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. Talking about who? The Holy Ghost, right? What did John Nelson Darby say? And having come, he will bring demonstration of the world of sin. So the Holy Ghost is going to teach me how to, he's going to demonstrate how to sin? Taught him how to do it, but it wasn't the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 1:9 in the King James Bible says this, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. John Nelson Darby, his version says, for they themselves relate concerning us what entering in we had to you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God.
Now, you might think, well, what was the difference? Here's the difference. King James says, the living and true God. John Nelson Darby says, a living and true God. Now, let me ask you a question. Is our God a living and true God? He's just one of the living and true gods, you know, along with every other. No, he's not a living and true God. He is the living and true God. There's only one God. There's only one Lord that we serve.
2 John 1:7, the Bible says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So he says this. The Bible says, confess not that Jesus is come in the flesh, right? Because he came.
Yeah.
Well, what does his version say? For many deceivers have gone out into the world, they who do not confess Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Now, you can look at different versions of the Bible, and they'll read very similar to Darby's version of the Bible. This isn't semantics, and this isn't a small issue. This is proof that even in John Nelson Darby's version of the Bible, a purposeful effort is being made to condition people for the New World Order.
How about this in Acts 8:37? Our King James Bible says this, and Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." If you want to be baptized, you must first believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we don't baptize babies. That's why we don't baptize unbelievers. Why? Because you must first believe on Christ. You must have a clear testimony of salvation, and then you can be baptized. But what does the John Nelson Darby version say? Well, it says nothing. Because if you open it up to Acts 8:37, the verse is missing. And you say, well, is that big of a deal? Well, the fact that the verse that explains that salvation is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and that you must believe on Him in order to be saved and then be baptized is removed is an attack on the doctrine of salvation.
Right. 10, I'm going to read to you from Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So the Bible teaches us that we receive the forgiveness of sins, the redemption, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, John Nelson Darby doesn't believe that. He says, in whom we receive redemption, the forgiveness of sins, not through the blood.
So you notice that there's these subtle changes, these systematic changes to promote false doctrine.
Yeah. You say, well, what's the big deal? You know, I mean, yeah, he was off on those things, but he was right on the pre-tribulation doctrine. He was right about the Jews. You're following a guy who wrote his own Bible, who inserted his own theology and ideologies and false teachings within that Bible, and you're saying that those two doctrines are right? You see, today you have these dispensational Baptists who will ardently fight against the NIV. They'll take a stand against the ESV and these modern perversions of the Bible, yet their foundation for eschatology and their foundation for their view on Israel stems from a man who wrote a Bible that reads just like these modern versions. No, that's your golden calf that you need to melt and be poured down your throat.
Amen.